Glad to be here today. It's the first day of spring. First day of spring, and it's my sister's birthday. All right. So definitely welcome to the first day of spring. So I don't know who coined the whole spring cleaning deal. I don't know who coined it, but in the spring, we normally clean up, right? I don't know why, but the spring cleaning piece is something that that helps us reset in the middle of the year. Anybody started your spring cleaning yet? What are y'all doing for spring cleaning? You're sweeping more? You are? Is it inside or outside? It's both. Somebody said both with an F. It's both. Cleaning inside and cleaning outside. And so this series is spring cleaning. And so many non-Christians are intimidated by what you see on the screen here. In other words, spring cleaning has something to do with cleaning something. And many of us have gotten ourselves into a hole of, man, it's going to take more than one day to spring clean. Anybody else got that testimony? How do we get here? Everybody say, how do we get here? So, but many non-Christians, everybody say non-Christians, are actually intimidated to jump into Christianity. They're intimidated because of the mess they got themselves in. It's a lot to unravel, and then you're asking me to be a Christian. You're asking me to leave. You're asking me to leave something old and to embrace something new. You're asking me to clean up. If I got a house looking like this on the screen, I would be like, bruh, I ain't even going to start. It's intimidating. But when sharing the gospel today, guys, I want to, today it's going to have like two themes. It's going to slip into free will. Everybody say free will. And this text that we're going to lift, to me, it screams free will. But we're going to also, check one, two, it's going to have this evangelistic type theme. All right. Are we sharing the gospel? Now, we have this hope. Everybody in this room is saved. Amen. We're saved. And so even though this is a salvation message, what do we do with that? We got to share the hope that's on the inside of us. Everybody say, let's share. Sharing is caring. So when sharing the gospel, let's keep it simple. If you're taking notes, just write, keep it simple. Kiss, keep it simple. Everybody say, keep it simple. Yes, true. Listen, we have made a mess of things. Many non-believers have made a mess of things. But let's, when we're sharing with them, hey, bro, you need to change. Hey, you need to change. Let's just keep it simple. But then when we transition today to this free will piece, we have to also know we're just planting seeds. We're just planting seeds because they are free to mess up and they are free to change. All right, does that make sense? So Psalm 24:3 is the scripture that all the teachers have been focusing on, and I'm going to focus on it too, all right? Read it with me. On your mark, get set, ready, go. Who may ascend the mountain or the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? And the reason why I always highlight certain things in the scriptures, so when you read it in your Bible, you won't see it highlighted, obviously, and you won't see things like this, but it is interesting that it says, who may. Everybody say may. Everybody say may. So I want you to kind of bookmark that. That emphasizes free will. All right. This is not a guarantee that something is going to happen. Everybody say, who may ascend. So this scripture is focusing on three things. It's focused on a person, on a subject. The who is the person. Number two, it's focusing on a journey. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Number three is focusing on a place. So you got this person. You got this person that's going to be on a journey, and he is going to this mysterious place. This holy mountain, this tent that some scriptures talk about, is a mysterious place. To me, it's mysterious. It's a holy destination. Everybody say holy destination. Number four, this scripture used to cause me to try to do something to get right. In other words, I look at this and I think I have a blueprint to do something right, to be in right standing with God. And I'm like, I'm good. I just check off this and I'm good. Amen. I'm saved. I'm not going to be, listen, y'all ain't going to read about me being strung out on drugs. I'm just telling you that now. You're not going to read about me going to jail for killing nobody. Well, unless you mess with the wrong person. But in other words, I am on this journey of not necessarily I know Christ. It's going to be hard for you to convince me that Christ didn't exist or that God doesn't exist. All right? Does that make sense? But this mysterious place, there's a misnomer that in the scripture that I got to do something or that we should tell somebody else to do something so they can be in right standing with God. It is a misnomer because the scripture says, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? The answer is, no one can ascend to the hill of the Lord without credentials. Like in the music industry, credentials is everything. I see P. Wright is here today, so he knows about this. Credentials is everything. You want to get backstage. Like, it's like everybody's trying. So much people are fabricating backstage passes just to get backstage to have what? Access. They want access. And so there's a misnomer that you have to do something to be in right standing with God, which is technically true, but it's technically not true because we can never do something that will impress God. He's not impressed with us because we're flesh. He's not impressed with us. Make sense? So no one can ascend without credentials. Similar to a backstage pass are the credentials from God that allow us to ascend the hill of the Lord. Without proper credentials, we are not granted access. So considering the state where we entered into the world, we need these credentials. We need rescuing. We need a rescue plan. All right? And so credentials are required. Some have a lot of scriptures today. I'm not apologizing for it. Just warning you. All right? If you didn't get a good night's sleep, it's going to make you sleepy. All right? But just fight it and read with me. Psalm 51:5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. All right? That's one reason we need these credentials. Romans 7:18. Read this with me. It's on the screen. Ready, set, go. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. Will. Remember, I'm going to talk about later next week about free will. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as unclean thing. You saying, bruh, that's how you feel this morning? You just gonna read these scriptures that makes us feel like this? Y'all stick with me. There's good news. There's always good news. But I'm going somewhere with this. But we are all as unclean thing. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So this passage is basically revealing how much we need to spring clean. So, of course, David in the Bible, he was a believer. But he knew a lot. And he was convinced and he was convicted about spring cleaning, fall cleaning, winter cleaning, summer cleaning. He wanted a clean what? He wanted a clean heart. He wanted a clean spirit. But he was a believer. He believed in God. He worshiped God. But it seemed like you always reading about David not asking to be saved, asking for help in believing that God exists. He's asking for what? For a clean heart. So his quality of life can be good on earth as a believer. It's about this quality of life. We all are Christians. I ain't got to convince you guys that God is good. If I say it the right way, that God is good all the time, y'all going to start shouting in here, and I'm going to join you because God is good. God has been good to me. Amen? If God has been good to you, you ought to clap your hands real quick. See, told you don't take much because God is good, period. So that's not our testimony today. It's about having a quality of life, this good quality of life as a Christian. And it's also about sharing this hope that's on the inside of us. I'm not trying to embarrass you. But raise your hand if you have not shared the gospel or testified to a neighbor, a coworker this week. All right? If you have not, raise your hand. That means we have homework. If you have not shared the gospel with somebody this week, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I know y'all trying to be not. Y'all look, yes, yeah, I'm trying to see who goes first. You ain't got to raise your hand. But that's definitely a part of this teaching today. It's always, listen, we always got to share this gospel. We always got to testify to somebody. If you're in an Uber, if you're at Chick-fil-A, if you see somebody, just share this love that's on the inside of you. Amen. Y'all want to be in heaven by yourself? No, we want strangers. We want family members to be in heaven. I was at a funeral yesterday, and the preacher said, you know, he was talking about the person that died. And then the preacher said, yeah, I believe. He said, I think granddaddy is going to be there. He said, I hope auntie is going to be there. And he kept using words like, yeah, I hope we're going to see cousin so-and-so over there. But we want to see everybody that we know and everybody that we don't know there. Psalm 51 says, David says, one more time, I'm going to lift this and emphasize David wanting to be in a good standing with God. Psalm 51, verse 10 says, David says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. So whenever I'm reading scriptures about presence, Holy Spirit, this other place, this holy place, I want you to think about a mountain. All right? That's basically who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? This mountain, this mysterious holy place. All right? It's a place that we all should want to go to experience. Do not cast me from your presence, mountain, or take me from your Holy Spirit. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. A little spring cleaning here. And grant me a willing spirit. Y'all see free will in that? Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Say this loud with me. The Spirit of God is attracted to honesty and purity. The Spirit of God is attracted to honesty and purity. All right? I know y'all going to raise your hand on this. If you had some challenging times this week, raise your hand. Just some things. Yeah, so the hands. So a lot of what we're facing is internal. It's not necessarily physical. It's sometimes our spirit is just vexed. Anybody, your spirit has been vexed this week? It's the spirit man needs to be in right standing with God. The spirit man needs encouragement. The spirit man needs God's love. It needs God's comfort. So the ascending credentials, all right? This is the second part of Psalm 24. And it says, read this with me, guys. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god, they will receive the blessing from the Lord and vindication from God the Savior. Such is the generation of those who what? Free will, who seek him, who choose to seek him. And I don't want to give you a sneak peek of next week, but this free will piece is important to the Christian faith. Guys, if we don't believe that we have free will to choose, that everything that we're a part of is just false. It's like if we don't believe we have free will to worship God, if we think this is all manipulated, then it's like what we're part of is just a sham. And the reason why I'm saying that, because there are many people that don't believe we are free to worship God. They think this thing is manipulated. They think this thing is determined. This is a term we're going to learn next week called determinism, if you want to write it down. Everybody say determinism. Determinism, all right? So such a generation of those who seek him, willingly seek him, shall choose. Maddox Brookings, shout choose. Everybody shout, I choose. All right. This is the generation who choose to seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. So we're not clean on our own. We are clean through Christ. We know this. Amen. We may get an E for effort for trying, and actually, I think you should try. There's I forgot the name of the rap. Or the slogan, get rich or what? Die trying. Everybody say, get righteous. Die trying. We get God's attention when we trust the process. Everybody say, trust the process. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Trusting God is a part of the process. Amen. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. Raise your hand if you ever felt guilty. You felt guilty about something you didn't even do. Raise your hand. Me. I didn't even do it, but I feel guilty. It's like, well, I didn't even do it. I didn't cuss you out yet. Amen. I didn't flat your tire yet. Amen. I didn't send you that text yet, but I'm feeling guilty about something that's internal. Thank for our guilty, our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with what? Christ's blood to make us clean. I know we're trying to do something to fix what we got going on the inside, but it ain't nothing like God's process in making us clean. Amen? And I think this is what we should share with unbelievers, that, hey, keep it simple. It ain't that hard. It ain't that hard. I know you're trying to do things you're trying to fix yourself up before you come to church, but tell them to come to church anyway. I think Uncle Jerry just said, just admonish us to do what? Invite people. Perhaps we don't invite people because they look, smell a certain way, but that's who the house of Judah should want in the church. Amen? Come on, let's invite somebody next week that's not saved. Sure, invite a Christian, but invite somebody that's not saved. Amen? That's Matthew 28 commandment. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. So Christ's blood and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Seem like the word of God is just kind of doing the teaching today. Like, I ain't got to really say much. Amen? So contrary to popular belief, there is a change through Christ, Jesus, Yeshua. Everybody ain't rocking with Jesus, but we know that when you are in Christ, there is a change. Amen? So show them the change, and maybe they will want to come to church. Amen? Make sense? So no Christ. Shout this with me before y'all go to sleep. No Christ. No change. No Christ, no change. We as Christians are not better than them. We just made a decision sooner than them, okay? We have this posture of, I am better than I deserve. Like, I'm not better than you. I just made a decision before you. So when you make that decision, I'm going to celebrate you, and then it's going to be a multiplication because we're going to draw two more people and two more people, not necessarily to the house of Judah, but to the kingdom. If they come here and they get saved and they go somewhere else, we're cool with that. Amen. Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God. The righteousness from who? The righteousness from praying 10 times a day, or the righteousness from who? The righteousness from wearing a certain outfit to be right. The righteousness from singing a certain kind of music. The righteousness from showing up to the house of Judah every single Sunday. This righteousness comes from God, and it's faith in Christ. Faith in who? Faith in your paycheck? Faith in who? Faith in the government? Faith in the vaccine? Faith in who? Faith in Christ. There's righteousness is from God that depends on faith. This is really simple. Amen. Ain't it simple? So it's easy to talk someone. So many are being talked out of the faith. But you know why? Let me tell you why. You know why? This is the T. They are easily talked out of the faith because they have never been talked into it. It's easy to talk somebody out of the faith because they never what? They've never been talked into it. So you're really not talking them out of the faith. They've never been talked into it. Salvation is intellectual. Yes, there's a spiritual aspect. What really intellect is spiritual. So when sharing the gospel, ask these questions. Number one, everybody say, do you want to change? You sound like a song of that. Number two, do you want to do good? The desire to change is a part of the change. The desire to change is a part of the change. It starts in the intellect. And salvation, as I just stated, is intellectual. So mind before manifestation. Mind before manifestation. Everybody say mind before manifestation. So when you ask somebody, do you want to do good? And they say, yeah, bro, I want to do good. Yes, sis, I want to change. Pastor, I want to change. Cousin, I want to change. That is a part of the change. I don't have a history of outside of the church four walls doing traditional street evangelism, but this would be my blueprint. Hey, do you want to change? And if they say, I really want to change, that response is the change. That desire to change is a part of the change. Does that make sense? Romans 7:21 says, so this is kind of a good little, just two questions to just go today or tomorrow and say, hey, are you saved? Do you want to be saved? And then from there, it can tell you what to say next. You know what? I don't know if I want to be saved, but I know I need to change. I know I want to change. If you got at least two cousins, uncles, family members that you know that need to change, raise your hand. Not according to your standards, but according to God's standards. If you know they need to change, ask them, do you want to change? I know they're wilding out. Amen. They're wilding out, and they're intimidated by us. They're intimidated by, it's not shade, they're intimidated by the stained glass. They're intimidated by what they think we are about. But let's change this narrative. Amen. So Romans 7:21 says, I really like that statement. The desire to change is a part of the change. That's really good. It's just like, it's encouraging to me. Almost finished, guys. Romans 7:21 says, read this with me. So I find this law at work in me. All right. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Remember I said God's presence is attracted to what? Purity and what else? Honesty. You see how Paul is being honest? I have an issue. When I want to do good, what's there? Evil is right there with me. That's not a decision. It's basically a choice, which proves that we have what? Free will. Amen. We have free will. But thank God for the desire to do good. Amen. So when we go and we evangelize, we ask, do you want to change? And they say, I really want to do good. Then that's what we should focus on. It's easy to focus on the negativity. Amen. You need to stop doing this. You're always doing this. But what about the desire to change? When I want to do good, evil is right there. What about, let's praise God for the desire to want to do good. Everybody say, I want to do good. That's what I'm focusing on. I want to do good. Forget the other stuff. When I want to do good, what's in me that makes me want to do good? So all hope is not lost. Amen. So the desire and will to do good precedes the action of doing good. Know that evil is present to give us another option. Everybody say free will. The other option highlights the fact that free will exists. We are free to choose. They are free to choose, and we are free to choose. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may? It said, who may ascend? So it's like, I may not. I may not. This week, I may have a good week. This week, I may not have a good week. But it's predicated on what? He says, this is a trick question now. You just said, I can't do it. I can't. Why am I saying this, guys? Psalm 24 emphasizes free will. definitely want to dive into this next week. It's going to feel like a lesson Bible study, but this is something we need to have in our arsenal as Christians. Because if people think that what we're a part of is manipulated, if they think what we're a part of is somewhat determined, not by God, because determinism is not about things being determined by God, it's about things being determined by evolution. So it's determined, but not by God. It explains why the world is in chaos, because everybody is just doing what they want to do with no consequences. Are y'all seeing that? You seeing the suicides, the killings, people getting missing? Because people don't have a conscience. They don't have a conscience because they don't believe that there's a consequence for XYZ. So we got a lot of work to do as Christians, amen, outside of these four walls. So Psalm 24 emphasizes free will. Everybody say free will. So whoever you have in your mind or on your list, they're one decision away from having clean hands and a pure heart. Not going to buy a new suit or take a shower. They're one decision away from having clean hands and a pure heart, just like many of us that have been going to church our entire life. We listen to gospel music. We kind of have this, we feel like we got this clean life. Amen. But remember, the scripture says our best days are as filthy rags. Like, we ain't got it together. We only have it together through Christ. Everybody say, through Christ. Everybody say, through Christ. That's why we got it together, because we have it together through Christ. God is keeping us together. He is keeping us. He is holding us together. It's like we're one day away from falling apart sometimes. Amen. It's a lot going on in the world. It's a lot going on internally in our spirit. There's a lot going on in our bodies. If we be honest, we just sometimes don't feel the best. If that's your testimony, raise your hand. I just don't feel the best. Amen. But ascending to the hill of the Lord, there's perks, there's benefits. So let me say this, and then I'll find a good place to close this out. So they're one decision away from having clean hands and a pure heart. God would not force you into his presence against your will. God would not force you into his presence against your will. Kind of think about that statement. If he forced you into his presence, then it takes away free will. If he forced you to love him, it takes away free will. He would not force you. If I don't want to go to heaven, God is going to do what? Give me my wish. If I don't want to love him, he loves me enough to give me my will. The Bible says that God wish that we love him, that we wish, he wished that we know him, that he desires. I used to struggle with this. God has desires. God has wants. God has needs. He is wishing that we do something. Doesn't that take away the sovereignty of God? Absolutely not. Can he be powerful, all powerful, and still wish that we do something? He's sovereign and he has a desire for us. Because he will not force you into heaven against your will. Everybody say will. Will. Everybody say will. This God, we were created in God's image, so we have a will. That is powerful. Guys, I don't really understand. I don't really know if you understand how powerful your will is. It is so powerful. If you want to lose 20 pounds, you can. Amen. If you want to save $1,000 in 1 month, you can. You got to figure out where the money comes. In other words, you can will yourself to do a lot of things. You can will a whole lot of things. That will piece, can you touch will? What does will feel like? It's internal. It's so powerful. It's immaterial. It's spiritual. Guys, I know there's some things that we may want to change in our lives. Will it? Will it? Speak to it. I'm talking about internally. I want muscles. You got to do something. But will it? Because the mind precedes the manifestation. Amen. So free will, I'll end on this because it's 2 weeks and I'll end on this. So free will is the capacity of agents to choose. If you want to write this down in your notes, free will is the capacity, you could write down capacity to choose between different possible courses of action, unimpeded, uninterrupted. God is looking at us and say, you about to make this dumb decision. You about to make this dumb decision. And guess what ends up happening? We make the dumb decision. We get ourselves into trouble and we blame who? We blame who? We blame God. Well, I'm speaking for me. I don't know about y'all. Why did I do that? Free will is closely linked to the concepts of moral responsibility. Praise, we freely praise God. And sin. And other judgments which apply only to actions that are freely chosen. So what if I don't believe? I have the freedom to choose. So keep it simple when you're sharing the gospel, but we also have to tell them the truth. If you don't change, X, Y, Z is going to happen. That's not being arrogant. That's being loving. If you don't change, if you eat honey bun cakes, bread pudding, macaroni and cheese every single day, what's going to happen? You say you're going to get diabetes. I was saying you're going to die. But I guess diabetes precedes death. DD, double D, 2D, diabetes, death. Am I judging? I'm being truthful. I'm telling you the facts. It is a scientific fact that if you do that religiously, you're going to die. It is a fact. If you die without Christ, what's going to happen? Yeah, you're gonna spend eternally away from him. Now that's not even judging. Don't see that as judging. That's giving you what you want. Amen. If that what you want, that's what you're gonna get. Perhaps in hell, they're not gonna want to change. Perhaps the weeping and the gnashing of teeth has nothing to do with torturing and pain. It is in that state still rejecting God. You are still saying, I don't want you. Perhaps. So this infographic you have on your sheet, you can fill this out. But it's a interesting infographic that I put together for you guys. So you can, I know there's some fill in the blanks here. But on the left side, number one is basically, so you have two individuals. Free will. One is choosing to delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the what? The desires of your heart. So that's in Psalm 37:4, if you want to write that in that blank there. Number two, that one decision triggers clean hands and a pure heart. That's number two, if you want to write that there, clean hands, pure heart through Christ, which Jesus is our credentials. And then access granted to ascend the hill of the Lord. You have the desire to change. You delight yourself also in the Lord. It triggers clean hands and a pure heart, which is the credentials to take the journey to ascend to the hill of the Lord. Then you have subject B, the person on the right. They are doing what Psalm 24, the second part, suggests us not to do, which is trust and worship idols, pledge allegiance, oath, trust in false gods. But then number two, the credentials for ascending are withheld. So access denied because you don't want to do this. It's cool. And listen, God will give you the desires of your heart, and he will give you the desires of your heart no matter what side of the fence you're on. Yes, that's a great statement. That's a positive statement. It's also a statement where, in my opinion, it's a scary statement, because if God would give me the desires of my heart, sheesh. But to clarify that scripture, it says, if you delight yourself in the Lord. Everybody say if. That's free will. If. That's no pressure. No pressure. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he would do what? So there's two options at the if. If you do this, he will give you the desires of your heart. If you don't do this, he's going to do what? Give you the desires of your heart. Romans 1 says, Romans 1, and I'm definitely finished after this. God gave them over in the sinful desires of their what? Of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for what? A lie. That's 2022, ain't it? And worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. So remember, guys, as we share Christ and evangelize, keep it simple. Tell the truth. Consider this approach of humility and grace. We're not saved by works. We're saved by what? Grace. So, JJ, hey, I know you're trying to get yourself together, but you don't have to get yourself together. Allow God to fix you. Listen, really, you're just one belief away. This is how I'm suggesting you guys to share Christ with JJ, with Taquisha. You may stand. That'll cue me, Alpheus. Just stop. You guys encouraged this morning from this teaching, from this instruction? It's a teaching, instructions, it's considerations.